college who said this, words are like toothpaste. Once you squirt them out, you can't put them back. And it's true, right? I mean, that's just how it is. So what I want us to do today is we're just going to look at several scriptures and look at what the scripture teaches us about our words. The word or words appears well over 600 times in scripture. So the scripture thinks that the words you use are very important. They dictate the course of your life in so many ways. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. And listen to what Solomon says. Again, smartest guy other than Jesus to ever live. And he says this, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue, well, it breaks the spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? The first way words are described is it can become a tree of life or it can break your spirit. Words can actually crush you more than a right hook. My mom was married to two very abusive men. And I remember her telling me something once when I got away to school and we were talking about it. And she said, you know, son, she said, believe it or not, I had rather someone come in and knock me out than berate me and yell at me day after day after day after day. Said, because that breaks your spirit. How many of you have ever been in a situation where your spirit has been broken by words? Where words have been used, and they've been used intentionally to harm you and to rip you up and to tear you down. The scripture tells us very clearly that words can be a tree of life, something that gives life. Man, how cool is that? Or it can be something that absolutely rips you to pieces. Words matter. Now, over in Proverbs 18, the scripture goes on and says this. Proverbs 18, verse 21, and it just says sort of the same thing, but in a little different, nuanced way. It says, now death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Have you ever been in a situation, and now I know some of you have, but and I pray you never go into this situation again, but have you ever been in a situation where you've just been depressed? I mean, the best thing you could, I mean, you wake up and the glass is half empty, you go outside and the sun is not going to be shining, you drive across our beautiful river and it's just a body of water, means nothing to you. Have you ever been in a situation where you've just been in a black hole, where it was your life was sort of this emptiness wrapped in nothingness, and it was just an empty, horrible spot? Have you ever been there? If you've been in that spot, here's what you know. You know that somebody could walk in and give you a large sum of money, and that might be nice for an hour, but that isn't going to fix the problem. Here's what you know when your situation has become so bad that everything is dark as far as you can tell, and everything's just a sunset as far as you can tell. Here's what you know. A well-placed word has power to heal. Someone coming into your life and saying something kind has the power to heal a lot of that type of hurt. I went through a situation several years ago. Many of you remember that. And I had a very dear friend of mine call me up. I hadn't talked to him in years. And he called me up, and this is what he said. He said, Terry, I want you to know something. I love you. That's all he called to tell me. Not shaking you, is it? I mean, that's no big deal to you. I'm telling you, at that day, at that time, somebody picking up the phone, calling me, and saying, Terry, I love you. I believe in you. Meant more than anything else anyone could ever do. In your tongue, you have the power to bring life to someone, and scripture says you have power to bring death to someone. How many kids have been raised in homes? Think about this. Teachers, educators, you know this is true. How many kids have been raised in homes where their parents have spoken death to them, they've spoken negative to them, they've spoken defeat to them, and they have walked out of their house believing that they couldn't accomplish anything because that's what they've heard their entire life. Parents have the power to kill the spirit of their children. You also have the power to bring life. You have the power to bring possibility. You have the power to speak to those around you and remind them, okay, hey, this didn't work out, but guess what? Tomorrow's going to be a better day. Man, God has created you for purpose. You have a unique possibility in front of you that's only for you, and God's designing it, and man, it's going to come. It might even come this week. Those are not empty words. Those are true words based on a God who controls creation. You have the power to speak life into someone's life rather than death. Scripture tells us very clearly that life and death and the power of the tongue. Man, I pray that that you came from a home where your parents and those around you spoke life into you. And they spoke possibility into you. And I pray if you're raising kids or grandkids right now, I pray that you're speaking life into them. That you're speaking words that create possibility thinking, that create faith, that cause them to be optimistic rather than pessimistic. I pray you're speaking life into those around you. Because it really does matter. Scripture tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Well, we go on. Proverbs also tells us something else about words. And this is interesting. Sometimes it's what we don't say that can matter most. Listen to Proverbs 26, verse 20. For the lack of wood, the fire will go out. And where there is no whispering or gossiping, quarrels will begin to cease. Now think about that for a minute. How many of you have been in a fight or been in a situation with someone you love, maybe your significant other, and you know that if you talk about it again, it just adds fuel to the fire. You ever been there? Some of you don't want to talk about it. Don't want to use those words, right? Right? But I mean, there's a situation, and you just got to leave it alone. Just leave it alone. The scripture says if you don't want a quarrel, if you want fights to die out, if you want the quarrels to go away, leave it alone. I had a dear friend of mine that said, you know what? I pray when we get to heaven, we get credit for all the things I didn't say. Don't you think that might be true? I mean, how many of you need credit for? I mean, you really could say some things, right? But you don't. And don't you? Maybe we'll get credit for it. I don't know. But the scripture says right here, if you want a quarrel to cease, if you want a fight to cease, leave it alone. Just don't use any words. Guys, men, look at me. How many of us know sometimes there is no word that's appropriate? Just hush. Anybody with me? Amen. All the guys are saying that. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you just don't say a word, but it's hard. Isn't it hard? I mean, isn't it hard because you just know you're right? And you just want to grind it and grind it and grind it. But guess what the scripture says? If you want a quarrel to cease, hush. Don't say a word. If you and your significant other or somebody at work, y'all get into a pretty good fuss, guess what? If you'll be quiet, they'll eventually go away. I mean, it sort of has to go that way. I mean, you can't fight with yourself. Some of you are like, well, you don't know so-and-so. They can fight with themselves for hours. I can tell you they can. Just don't say a word. Scripture tells us that if we withhold our words, if we withhold what's going on, guess what? Eventually, the quarrels cease. Eventually, the fights stop because there's no fuel. Don't add fuel to the fire. I was the youngest of four boys, and you could imagine there was a lot of fussing in my house and a lot of fighting. And my mom used to say it all the time, you're just adding fuel to the fire. You're just adding fuel to the fire, because I would put my mouth on it. I'm telling you, it didn't matter what it was. I was going to have the last word. That's not real smart when you're the youngest of four boys. Just saying, because it can't escalate from words. Just so you know. So scripture tells us another thing about words. Sometimes we need to just hold back a little bit. Sometimes you just need, we're blessed by what we don't say. And if you do that, the fight will eventually stop. The quarrels will go away. Well, turn with me, if you will, over to Proverbs 17. Solomon says that our words in Proverbs 17 really are sort of the advancement of our true self. In Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28, Scripture says this, now whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Now, I know all y'all have heard this saying, if somebody thinks you're stupid, don't open your mouth and remove all doubt. Amen? Have you heard that? I mean, if somebody thinks you're dumb, let them think it, but don't start talking and remove all doubt. That's what Solomon's saying. He's saying even a foolish person is considered wise if they just be quiet. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is just be quiet. Not open our mouths so we remove all doubt. He goes on over in Matthew 15, 11. Jesus says this. He says, it is not that what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. Got to be careful what we say. I was reading a little something as I was studying for this week. It said this. It said, be very cautious with the words you use. Make them short and make them sweet. Because in a day or two, you might have to eat them. Isn't that true? Jesus says it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, it's what comes out. There is no question and no doubt your testimony can be damaged quickest by your words. Your words will define in people's mind and people's perception of you very quickly who you are, what you're about, and where you're headed in life. I had an English teacher that gave us vocab quizzes all the time. I mean, we probably got a couple a week, and I mean, it was like death by vocab. And so finally, she was a good friend of my mom's. So finally, I just went to her. Name was Mrs. Queen. And I said, okay, look, you're killing us with the vocab quizzes. I mean, everybody hates them. We need to take a class vote. Well, I went to school back in the day. That was not possible. Anybody with me on that? There was no class vote. And so she said, let me tell you why we do the vocab, Terry. She said, when you get out of high school and go to college, you get out of college, she said, the words you use will open doors for you that you've never imagined. If you can communicate well, if you have an expanding vocabulary, if you understand how to engage people using words and using them correctly, she said, it'll absolutely, absolutely change your life. And you know what? She's right. Your words matter. They matter so much, Jesus said, they're so powerful and so strong. Not only do they bring life like we've seen, but they can defile you. Your words, misplaced words, words that are not truthful, words that are not honest, words that are not kind, words that are not gracious, we're going to talk about that in a minute, words that are not building up to others, those kind of words can defile your testimony and really begin to destroy your life. I've had the opportunity over the last several years to interview people in various positions. And one of the things I listen for as I listen for their vocabulary, and I listen, do they use their words correctly? I listen to, do they use just everyday words, or do they read? Do they have a broader vocabulary? Listen, folks, I promise you, your words can build you up and advance you, but like Jesus said, they can also defile you. Have you used words over the last few weeks that have not been honest? Have you used words that have not been truthful? Have you used words that haven't built people up? They've torn people down. Words matter. They absolutely matter. Ephesians 4:29, the Apostle Paul tells us, gives us some instruction on how to use words and how important it is. In Ephesians 4:29, the scripture says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for the building up, as it fits for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The Apostle Paul says it's very important that you use words that give grace. You know how many people you'll encounter at the grocery store this week that need some words of grace and kindness? It is unbelievable how testimonies can be advanced in very easy, simple ways. When you're checking out, be kind. Use words that are gracious. When you go to a restaurant, if they jack up your order 7 ways from Sunday, right? Be kind. Use good words. Use words that are gracious. You don't know what that waitress or waiter's gone through. You know, we have a daughter who's a server now, and so we're even more attentive to that because you just don't know. You don't know how you could be used by the Lord just by using good words. And you do know this, right? That when you're sitting at a restaurant, the people next to you are eavesdropping on your conversation. You do know that, right? You do know they're earing, you know, they're trying to get a little scoop from you. Isn't it interesting that you could be sitting there having a conversation with your husband, wife, friends, whatever, and if you're using good words, positive words, redemptive words, how that can be a blessing to the people sitting over here listening in. It is amazing how those words can carry meaning even to people outside the conversation. Paul says, understand that people may be listening that need some grace. So use gracious words. First Peter tells us that there's a way that we can be assured to have a great life. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:10 says. For whoever desires to love life and see really good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceptively. Do you want good days? You want to love life? Tame your tongue. How many of you know that most friendships end not because of what someone does, but because of what someone says? Friendships end primarily starting with words. Words absolutely can bring you together or they can tear you apart. When Renee and I got married 26 years ago last week, 26 years on the 26th. How many of you want to say how lucky she is? Anybody? Right. Yeah. 26 on the 26th. Only happened one time. And we made a commitment to each other. Now, this probably isn't going to win the Nobel Prize. But here's the deal. We just sort of made a commitment that we would never use a particular word in our marriage. And that word is divorce. We just promised, we committed to each other, we would never use it. Because here's our thinking. Again, probably not real advanced, but it's worked for us. If you never say it, you can't do it. If the words never come out of your mouth, it's hard to put that into action. I mean, what do you say? We're going to the lawyer to, you know, that thing we're not going to talk about. That doesn't work out so well, you know. Well, we're going to go see the lawyer and we're going to, can't do that. We just made a commitment early in our marriage that that's just not going to be part of our vocabulary. So we got rid of it. And it's worked for us. Now, I don't say that to be condemning or shaming anyone. I mean, please know that that's not the purpose of that. It's simply to emphasize that words matter. Words direct your life. Words can be used to heal and be used to tear apart. Scripture says that if you want to have good days, if you want to love life, then speak words that are not deceitful. Deceitful, that means speak honest words. Speak words that are truthful. Speak words that are kind. Speak words that build each other up and not tear each other down. If you want to say something bad, just sort of count to 10. Right? Just don't do it. Your words are so important that it's talked about over 600 times in Scripture. It's so important that Jesus said that they can defile you. Your words are so important. Solomon spent more time in the Proverbs on the subject of words and the tongue than any other subject he covers in the Proverbs. Words are so important that Paul would 3 times in his epistles basically repeat the same verse. Don't speak corruptly, speak graciously. Words are so important that God inspired men of old to write his down so we can read it. Words are important. If you're committed to saying good words, if you're committed to committing your words to the Lord, let me challenge you to pray this prayer found in Psalm 19:14. David is praying. He says this: Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you don't know what to pray in the morning about your words, I offer you a prayer that David prayed. Lord, let my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's found again in Psalm 19, verse 14. Need help with your words? Pray this every morning. Memorize it. It's just a few lines. Memorize it. Pray it every morning. Are you getting tied up with the tongue a lot? Are your words really backing you out of a joy-filled, peaceful life? Are your words pushing you out of that? Begin praying this right here. Let me say it to you again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, Lord. If you will, start to pray this, then the promises from God's word will begin to come your way pertaining to your words. You'll have the love of life. You'll begin to have a peaceful life. You'll begin to have a better life. Words that are honest, words that are truthful, words that are kind, words that build up. I know some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I heard this in like second grade. Did it stick? If it didn't stick, let me challenge you to pray this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You are loved by your heavenly Father, and he has set out clear principles concerning words. If you will honor the scripture and speak those words that are truthful and gracious and kind and loving, good days will come your way, and you'll find the favor of God in the midst of some crazy times. Amen? Pray with me if you will. Father, I thank you that you loved us enough to give us your word, and that you loved us enough to give us direction and instruction on how to speak and how to talk to each other and